Hare Krishna. I am most grateful to be among all of you on this most auspicious day in this most auspicious place. Today, all over India is the celebration of Diwali. For many, it is the new year. So many celebrations happening. For many, Diwali is a time to blow off unlimited firecrackers, and in the process create lots of noise and put so much smoke in the air. The nature of this world is to take something very sacred and make it into something quite mundane. Because as we were speaking, the world is a reflection of our state of consciousness. The consciousness is like an antenna, in a sense, is what we associate with, we access that energy. When we're in the association of saintly people, satsang, when we're hearing transcendental sound vibration, harikatha, or kirtan, the vibration of God's names, we're tuning into the transcendental divine energy of God's divine grace within this creation and beyond this creation. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. That the names of the Lord have descended from Goloka, the highest planet in the spiritual world. They are simultaneously ever existing there, and they are also manifesting here. So when, with a humble and sincere heart, we connect to the holy name, we are actually accessing the grace of the spiritual world into our hearts. Mahatsevam dwaram ahuravimuktes tamodwaram yoshita sanghi sangam. Lord Rishabhdev has spoken this in the Srimad Bhagavat, that when we associate with saintly people, we naturally become saintly. The doors to liberation are opened in our lives from within. And when we associate with people who are too much infatuated by greed, arrogance, selfish passions, envy, anger, illusion, then we are on a very subtle level, very deep in our heart, greatly affected by that. and it will manifest as the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. Association is so important because not only are we accessing and being transformed, either positive or negative, according to what we access, but also, like antennas, we are transmitting whatever our consciousness may be. There are three modes of nature: sattva-guna, raja-guna, tamaguna. According to the modes we choose to associate with, we become affected and molded in that way, and then we transmit that energy to influence others. When there is thousands of people in one place, and almost everybody is sincere with an earnest heart to hear Hari Katha, to hear these spiritual subject matters with a genuine desire to be spiritually nourished, to be purified, to love God, to access that grace that will help us to overcome the impediments of this world. And there are limitless impediments. But there's one power that can take us beyond every type of impediment. And that is kripa, divine grace or mercy. So when we are all together to hear, to chant, to inspire toward Krishna, toward God, what an incredible energy that is. Everyone around us is helping us to actually open our hearts to receive the grace of Krishna. And then individually and collectively, we become not like just an antenna, but like a whole power plant emitting this energy of grace. That is satsang. But the tendency is, when we are very much putting ourselves in the center and taking Krishna or God out of the center, it's like if you have a clean cloth and you take dirty water, it actually filters the water clean. Yes? But if you have a filthy, dirty, contaminated cloth and you take clean water and put it through it, it makes it dirty. So our consciousness, we could either transform selfish material energy into pure devotional service through our consciousness, or we could take what is sacred and actually present it as something polluted. You cannot pollute what is sacred, but you could mix so many other things in it. And the effect is it's polluted. Just like water is actually never polluted, because water is always pure, H2O. But when you mix so many other elements that are not H2O, so many other chemicals from different types of power plants and sewage and everything else, then there's hardly any water left in it. So Diwali is such a sacred day. And in other places, Christmas, it's a sacred day. But for many, They changed it to Xmas, so they don't have to think about Christ. They can think about X. And they can celebrate. It's the holiest day of the year. Holiday means holy day. And in some sacred days, they slaughter animals like anything. But Saragrahi, a truly spiritual person is one who seeks the essence. Why is this day sacred? What is it for? Why has God presented this to the world? All sacred days are ultimately to help us to focus our entire consciousness on the purpose of life, which is to love Krishna, to love God, to learn to be a compassionate instrument of God's grace in whatever we do, wherever we are, and whoever we're with. Ramchandra, after he was exiled from Ayodhya due to the envy of his stepmother, Kaikeyi. She was actually a great devotee. She loved Ram more than everything in her life. But due to the association of Mantara, her maidservant, who was so envious and so convinced that whatever she was thinking was the truth. That's human nature. When we're arrogant, when we're envious, when we're greedy, when we have these anarthas, the nature of Maya, or this illusory energy, is to convince us. Really convince us. Not superficially pretending for some ulterior reason, but really convince us that what I believe is right. Otherwise, how will we really move forward with such conviction to the extent that we're actually making so many offenses and even atrocities toward others? Kaikeyi was convinced that Ram was actually a very bad person. And she convinced this great devotee, one of Ram's mothers, to banish him for 14 years. She was so convinced that envy, like a little spark, Mantara made it blaze into such a fire that even when her own husband Dasarath died of separation of Ram because of her, it did not faze her the slightest. It was just like, that's the way business is. For me to do the right thing, some loss will be. So what? A day before, she was willing to give her life a million times for Dasarath. Anyways, I don't have time to speak the whole Ramayana, but after 14 years, Ram returned to Ayodhya on the Amavasya, the dark moon night. And on that day, on that night, Hanuman, Bharat were here in Ayodhya to greet him. And all the residents who for so long, those 14 years were like 14,000 years for the residents of Ayodhya because they loved Ram. They all lit lamps, flames, on their rooftops, on their doorsteps, on their windows, in their hands, to welcome Ram back home. So Diwali is a festival of the heart. Our hearts, like the Amavasya, like the dark moon night, they have been living in darkness for so long. Krishna Suraya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like light, Maya is like darkness. With the lamps of our gratitude, with the lamps of our love, we offer them to welcome our beloved Lord back home in our hearts. That is Diwali. A time to really focus on making our whole life for this purpose and to celebrate the Lord's grace, to celebrate the Lord's coming into our lives individually and collectively. And offering the lamps of our love means offering our life for His pleasure. And if you blow off firecrackers with that consciousness, then those firecrackers become transcendental. But I don't know how many people are doing that. Otherwise, it just becomes some tamaguna explosion. But here in Vrindavan, there's another very, very sweet pastime that takes place in Diwali. It is a day when Krishna showed the whole world the power of his devotees' love and how he is bound, conquered by his devotees' love. So with your permission, I'd like to speak something on this subject. It took place in Gokul. Gokul is in the forest of Mahaban or Vrindavan. And according to Jiva Goswami and various Puranas and Acharyas, Krishna, on the day, or let us say, on midnight of Janmashtami, he simultaneously appeared within this world in Mathura as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, and in Gokul as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. It's a beautiful story. It culminates where Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, after performing 1 year of a Dwadasi observance, a beautiful little baby boy appeared in both of their minds. And at the end of that observance, the Supreme Lord appeared to them and said, "That little baby boy that is appearing to you in your heart, that you have completely fallen in love with, that child will be your son." At the same time, by Krishna's arrangement, Yogamaya and Krishna were both within the heart and womb of Yashoda. And Krishna, in his Aishwarya feature or majestic feature, appeared within the womb of Devaki. We know the story how at midnight Krishna just appeared outside of Devaki's heart and manifested a four-arm form, fully dressed with beautiful royal transcendental jewels and garments. He was Lord Narayan. And she prayed, and Vasudev prayed. And Devaki, she, in her motherly affection, she expressed that Kamsa has already killed six of my children. If he sees you like this, he will know that you are his enemy. He may harm you. Please hide this divine form of yours. And at that time, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, that energy like a wind moving a lotus, took the two-armed little baby Krishna from Yashoda, from her heart, and brought him to Mathura. And because Krishna is Adipurusham, he's the original absolute truth, and all other incarnations are included within him, the four-armed form of Narayan merged into Yashoda Mai's son, Krishna. And then Vasudev brought that little child, put him next to Yashoda in Gokul, and she was asleep. And while she was asleep, Yogamaya just came out and laid next to her. She didn't even know. And Vasudev switched the children. So in this way, Krishna, in his original form, was born in Gokul. When he was just a few days old, Putana, a terrible, terrible, evil person, her greatest joy in life was to murder babies, drink their blood and eat their flesh. She made Dracula and all these vampires look like little nursery school children. She was really wicked. And she disguised herself as a beautiful woman and put terrible poison on her breast with the objective of feeding it to Krishna and killing him. And when she walked in, Krishna was just a little baby. Nanda Maharaj, after Krishna was born, there was Nandotsav. Beautiful, wonderful festival. Nanda Maharaj was Brajendra Nandana. He was the king of Braj, and here was his son. So the whole of Braj Bhumi was dancing and singing and playing music and performing abhishekams and everything, all just to celebrate, and through that celebration to invoke auspiciousness and safety and blessings upon the little baby Krishna. And while Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura for some tax purposes, Putana came. She disguised herself to be so gentle looking that everyone was thinking, how beautiful. Maybe some angel or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, or some heavenly lady has come to bless Krishna. Otherwise, how could she be so gentle and beautiful looking? So they put such trust in this woman. She just walked right inside, lifted up Krishna, and put her breast in his mouth. And little baby, he was looking so innocent, like he didn't know anything. And Putana was saying, you see, he doesn't know, he will die. But Krishna knew everything. But he was so innocent, he just sucked. And actually, Putana, there was some affection there that somehow or other, within all the envy and hatred and violence, something little was there. Krishna drank. He drank her very life out from her, and she expanded into a horrible form and dropped dead. And Krishna gave her the liberation of his own mother in this spiritual world, because she came as a mother. So Krishna accepted he purified her of all the negative and just found that one little spark of positive, and that was all that was left. And she was given the highest liberation. When Krishna was just 3 years old, 3 months old, he was put under a little cart, and Shakatasura was liberated. He was a very ghostly being. Krishna was merciful upon him. And when Krishna was about 1 year old, Trinavarta came. And Krishna liberated him. Eventually, Shukadeva Goswami said, Krishna and Balaram, they were approximately the same age. And they loved to do everything together. When Rohini, Balaram's mother, and Yashoda, Krishna's mother, they would be constantly immersed in motherly love, serving their children. And sometimes Rohini and Yashoda, when they would look in little baby Krishna and Balaram's mouth, they would see little tiny teeth started to grow in. So they had a festival. That's what Vrindavan was. Anything Krishna did, they would have a festival. A tooth is growing, let us have a festival. Krishna actually started to lean a little up from laying down. We should have a festival. He began to crawl. Let us have a festival. A breeze moved his peacock feather. Let us have a festival. That is Vrindavan. To celebrate Krishna. And everything else was organized around those celebrations for Krishna's pleasure. Because these celebrations were both to share their love for Krishna with each other, to express their love for Krishna. And because they were thinking Krishna is just an ordinary little boy, it was to access wonderful blessings upon Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami tells in Srimad Bhagavatam how when Krishna and Balaram would crawl, they would love to crawl, especially in the mud. They would look for mud to crawl in the mud, because it wasn't ordinary mud. It was the dust of Braj Bhumi, the holy sacred Chintamani dust mixed with cow urine and cow dung. The sacred gifts of Mother Cow. And Krishna and Balaram, how much joy they would have crawling like little snakes with their legs straight behind them sometimes. They would just crawl through the mud and they would get all filled, and the gopis would look at them. Their hearts would melt. And sometimes Krishna Balaram would see little baby calves laying down, and they would pull the tail of the calf. And the calf would get scared and jump up and start running, and they would hold on to the tail. And the calf would be dragging the little babies through the mud of Vrindavan, and the babies would be laughing and laughing and laughing, and the gopis would be watching. And they would be laughing and clapping their hands. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram, they would be missing their mother so much, and they would hear the tinkling of ankle bells. And they would crawl, 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 crawl to the gopi. And with great effort, they would crawl up. And then the gopi would look down, and Krishna Balaram would see, it's not their mother, it's somebody else. And they'd start to cry and crawl away another, very fast another. In this way, they spent their times. And the Bhagavatam tells that Rohini and Yashoda were in constant anxiety. Anxiety because their little babies were so restless and they were just crawling around everywhere. And they were afraid they may be hurt by the horns of the cows or the sharp claws or teeth of monkeys or cats or dogs, or all the different kind of weapons on the ground like thorns or sharp stones. And Shukadeva Goswami is Mahayogi, great liberated yogi. But he's praising Yashoda and Rohini, telling how day and night they were totally immersed in the highest samadhi, liberated meditation of distress. Distress due to their intimate parental love for Krishna and Balaram. When we understand this, we really get such a magnificent conception of the possibilities and the depth of yoga. From Sukadeva Goswami and the Bhakta's perspective, Shanti means peace from all the turbulence of this world, both within the mind and in the external environment. But beyond Shanti is Bhav, prem, ecstatic love. And that prem is something dynamic. To be in anxiety, worrying about Krishna, is such a total absorption in Krishna, and so much love is profusely emerging from our hearts in that anxiety. It is a transcendental liberated state of highest ecstasy. This is how the mothers were spending their days. And after some time, Krishna and Balaram learned to walk. And as soon as they learned to walk, they began their lila as makkan chor, butter thieves. The gopis, they would come on a regular basis to taste the sweetness of Krishna by speaking about him. But they would do it under the pretense of complaining to Mother Yashoda. They would say, your son, right now he's sitting very innocently, like such a good boy, but let us tell you what he does. with his little friends, Krishna and Balaram, just at the time of dawn, when the sun's rising, they walk around. They were just little tiny children. They would walk around Brajbhumi just to do their research. And then before we go to the Goshala to milk our cows, they will let our calves loose. And the calves are running all over the place, and we say, our calves are loose. And our husbands and ourselves, we run out to catch the calves, and there's nobody in the house. And while we're away, Krishna and his friends will go into our house and steal our butter and our yogurt and our curd. And sometimes we'll come back and we'll actually catch them. There will be Krishna right in our house with his hand digging into the pot of butter and eating it. And we'll be just about to catch him and bring him to you. And Krishna will smile. We become so mesmerized, so intoxicated with love by seeing that smile, that we become stunned. We can't say a word. We can't move. We're just standing there watching as Krishna's eating all our butter, and we're helpless to do anything. Other times, not only will he come with his friends, but he'll call groups of monkeys into our house. And he'll feed our butter. First they'll eat to their full satisfaction, and then they'll feed the monkeys to their full satisfaction. And when the monkeys are so full that they cannot eat anything anymore, and the monkeys leave with full bellies, then Krishna just, and his friends, they said, this butter is so useless, even the monkeys don't want it. And then they'll throw it all over our house, on the walls and on the floors. Sometimes, in order to hide it from them, we put the clay pots of our butter hanging from ropes from the ceiling. And Krishna, sometimes he'll get on the shoulders of his friends. Sometimes he'll get on top of, he'll take tables or beds or boxes and stand on top. And Krishna has a special stick with a very pointed end. And he'll get, when we put it really as high as we can put it, he'll get on the shoulders of his friends and he'll poke a hole and all the butter will be coming down. And he'll call all the monkeys to share it with him. And Krishna, even if it's pitch dark, it seems like his jewels light up our whole house so he could see everything. Yashoda Mai, she said, oh, if you like, I'll take off his jewels. They said, no, please do not take off his jewels. Because even his body, it seems to lighten up all darkness. Sometimes we catch Krishna and we say, Krishna, you are a thief. And Krishna looks at us and smiles, and he says, no, you are a thief. Everything is my property. I have come to reclaim it. When we really hide our butter very well, and Krishna doesn't find it, he makes it known to us. He will pinch our little baby children and make them cry. Or sometimes he will go into our temple room and pass urine. Now, for some of you, you may be thinking, this is the absolute truth. The This is God. This is Allah. This is the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Narayan. This is Narasingha. This is Shiva. The absolute truth, ultimately, the exchanges of love with his devotees are his sweetest enjoyment. And they give the sweetest enjoyment to his devotees. I like to give this analogy. You may think it seems like a little ordinary boy passing urine on someone's floor when they're angry with them. But here it is, over 5,000 years later, we're still talking about it. How many times have you passed urine? You don't have to answer this question. Who cares? Nobody cares. But Krishna does it. Everyone is celebrating. It was another celebration. We're still celebrating. Because Krishna's all attractive. And the gopis would tell Yashoda Mai that actually Krishna not only steals our butter, but he completely steals our hearts. And we've come to you because we just uncontrollably want to share the joy of our hearts by complaining to you. And look at Krishna now. He's listening to what we're saying, and he looks like such a well-behaved little boy with little tears in his eyes, like, I didn't do that. But we know, as we're looking at him now, that although he looks so innocent, he's plotting when to come and steal our butter next. Makanchor. When our hearts become very soft and sweet like freshly churned butter, the Lord is Hadi. Hadi means one who steals. One who steals all the inauspiciousness away from us. And when our heart becomes sweet and soft with love, then Hadi will steal our hearts forever. And bhakti is the process of churning our hearts to make it soft and sweet for Krishna's pleasure. One time Krishna was stealing butter in the house of Yashoda Mai, his mother. Jiva Goswami tells this, or I'm sorry, Kavi Karnapur tells this story, that there was a pillar with jewels in it, and Krishna saw a reflection of himself in the jewels. He was just a little tiny child. And he got scared. He thought that somebody was watching him stealing, because he was stealing in a secret place. So he looked at the reflection and he said, my friend, he said, please don't tell my mother that I'm stealing butter. And if you don't tell her, I promise you I'll give you some. And Yashoda Mai was just in the next room watching all this. And she was smiling with so much affection. And when Krishna happened to see his mother, there was butter all over his face, there was butter all over his hands. He said, I'm not stealing butter, I'm not stealing butter. And he pointed to the reflection in the jewel. He said, he stole the butter. He said, I saw him coming and I told him, no, you should not steal my mother's butter. It's not the right thing. But even though I told him not to, he did it anyway. And now he put it on me. Yashoda Mai smiled. One time she was outside and little Krishna was inside and his hand was in the butter pot. little baby. And Mother Yashoda came, she looked at him, and his hand was in the pot. And he said, "I'm not stealing butter, I'm not stealing butter." And Yashoda Mai smiled and said, "Then what are you doing?" He said that you put these bracelets on me that have rubies, and they're so hot that they're burning my hand, that I've had to put my hand in this pot to cool it off." Yashoda Mai, she picked up little Gopal, and she looked at his hand, and she said, "Oh, it is burnt due to the bracelets." She said, "I will take the bracelets off. I'll get you new bracelets." And then she kissed his hand repeatedly to make it feel nice. One time he was in one gopi's house. It was one of his aunts. In India you say auntie. And she actually caught Krishna, which is a very rare thing. And she said, "I'm going to bring you to your mother, because I keep telling your mother that you're doing, all the gopis are telling, but she doesn't believe us. But now I'm going to take you, and she's going to see that there's my butter on your hands and on your face. You come with me." And little Gopal said, "I warn you." He was a very small child. "I warn you. I warn you. Don't do this to me." She said, "Come." And she brought him and she said, "Yashoda Mai, I have caught Krishna red-handed. He was stealing our butter. Look at him." And Yashoda Mai looked and then looked at the gopi and said, "I don't understand." She said, "I told you, I just caught Gopal. He's right here. Don't you see?" Yashoda was looking very bewildered. And the gopi looked down, and in her hand was her own son. It wasn't Gopal. So she was really bewildered. She said, "I'm sorry, Yashoda, I'm sorry." And she took her son and said, "Let's go home, let's go home." And she was walking home with her son, completely perplexed. And then she heard a little voice, and she looked down, and Krishna was in her hand. He said, "I warned you. I told you not to do that." He said, "And I warn you, if you do it again, next time I will assume the form of your husband." So the gopis, it was like kirtan for them to complain about Krishna, because it was with love. They were actually glorifying Krishna. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. He doesn't steal anything, but he steals our love. And actually, every gopi in Vrindavan, they would only milk their cows and they would only make their butter for one purpose, with the hope and the prayer that Krishna would come to steal it and would enjoy it. This is Vrindavan. But one day, the gopas, the cowherd boys, came to complain to Yashoda Mai. They said, "Today, in a secluded place, we saw Krishna near the bank of the Yamuna eating dirt." Now, what would a mother think if she heard that her child is eating dirt? She became very much disturbed because she's very much concerned for his health. Her realization, her praying, her love was so beyond love of God. She had attained love of God in such a deep way that God himself was allowing her to love him like her own child, with motherly affection. Which is more intimate, the love of a servant to a master, or the love a mother for a child? In Vrindavan, Krishna allows those relationships on the spiritual platform. So she took Krishna by the hand because she was afraid he would run away. And she said, Gopal, why did you eat dirt? How will you maintain your health? How will you live if you eat dirt? And Krishna said, I did not eat dirt. Yashoda Mai said, but all your friends are saying you eat dirt. And Balaram is always on your side for everything. And even he is saying you ate dirt. Krishna said, they are not telling the truth. This very much intensified Yashoda Mai's love. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the science of prem. That how is it possible for the absolute truth to tell a lie? He's the absolute truth. But when he speaks this way, in the mood of being an innocent, ordinary little child, it increases the vatsalya bhav, the motherly affection of Yashoda. That vatsalya bhav springs from prem, from the ecstatic love that is situated forever within the hearts of the devotees. And the cause of that love within the heart of the devotees is Krishna's affection for his devotees. Therefore, Krishna is named Bhaktavatsal. It's Krishna's aspect of his deep, unlimited affection for his devotees. Of all the powers, of all the knowledge, of all the glories of God, this Bhaktivatsal, or Krishna's limitless love and willingness to reciprocate love, is the crown jewel of all the ornaments of the Absolute Truth. And Krishna said, if you don't believe me, look in my mouth. Yashoda Mai said, open your mouth, let me see. But the reality is, he did eat dirt. If she saw it, what would happen? And Krishna didn't have time to wash his mouth out or anything like that. So he did something even more inconceivable. His yogamaya potency, his aishwarya shakti, manifested within his little tiny mouth a manifestation of the whole universe. Yashoda Mai looked in his little mouth and saw kind of into his stomach, and she saw all the oceans, all the mountains. She saw all living beings, the demigods. She saw Vrindavan. She saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth.
She saw the personification of time, the personification of the three modes of material nature, the personification of all the different elements and energies of the whole creation. She was astounded. How big is the universe? Even the greatest scientists, with all of their measuring instruments, they cannot measure it. They cannot fathom it. And it's not that Krishna's mouth became very big. It only remained this big. This is Achintya Shakti. The whole universe, by Krishna's will, could fit within his little mouth. To understand Krishna or Bhagavan is beyond our rational, logic, intellectual capacity. But the perfection of our logical, intellectual capacity is to understand logically with our intelligence that the absolute truth is inconceivable and is beyond us. And beyond our rational logic, we enter into the realm of true transcendental faith. Krishna can put an entire banyan tree in a seed this big. Every tree that we see, the Creator has put that tree at one time in a tiny little seed, that potential. And every human being, when your mother and father came together to actually create the seed of your body, they did not have any engineering plan. They didn't even know what was happening. They knew what was happening on one level, but then this little seed comes and it starts emulsifying and it starts mixing with the other different types of little stimulating ingredients, and little eyes and little ears and little nose and heart and brain and liver and kidneys and pancreas and fingers and legs. How is it happening? What a miracle. We're seeing miracles that are inconceivable everywhere around us. And when the Supreme Sarveshwareshwar, the controller of all controllers, wants to personally manifest his opulences, we don't doubt, we simply appreciate, and we love Krishna. Yashoda Maya is seeing the universe in her mouth, but she couldn't see him as God. It would disturb her love for him as a mother, so she was trying to figure it out. She was thinking, am I dreaming? I can't be dreaming because my eyes are open. Am I in illusion? Are the demigods putting me in some sort of illusion? No, I'm just an insignificant little cowherd lady. Why would the demigods waste their time putting me in illusion like this? Or maybe I'm mentally deranged. She said, no, I'm very stable in my mentality. I'm taking care of all my duties. I'm very peaceful. I'm very happy. Or maybe this is what Gargamuni meant. Because Gargamuni, who was a great, great Brahman and guru for many of the Yadus and the Vrishnis, and the priest for Vasudev, he actually came to perform the name-giving ceremony soon after Krishna and Balaram's birth. And at that time, along with giving him the name Krishna, the all-attractive one, he said, this child, he has appeared within this world to reestablish principles of religion and do incredible things to protect and inspire his devotees. And he comes in every age, sometimes in a white color, sometimes red, sometimes golden yellow. And now he's come in this dark form. But you should know that he is as good as Lord Narayan, the Supreme Lord. And he will do wonderful things. Yashoda Mai was thinking, maybe this is what's happening. No! Her motherly love would not accept it. She said, what does Gargamuni know about Krishna? I know about Krishna. He said he's as good as Narayan and he has all these mystical powers. But when he's hungry, he cries for me to feed him my milk. And when he's thirsty, he cries for me to feed him. The Absolute Truth doesn't cry. He's not hungry. And Krishna tells lies. The Absolute Truth doesn't lie. And when a cat meows or lightning strikes in the sky, Krishna starts to cry in great fear and jumps in my arms. And until I embrace him and kiss him, he shakes in fear. Let Gargamuni say what he wants. Let people believe what they want. But I know who Krishna is, and Krishna knows who I am. I am his mother, and he is just my loving little child. But still, she was seeing the universe in him. So in her motherly love, the only thing she could do is pray for Krishna's protection. So she prayed, oh, Supreme Lord Narayan, cause of all causes, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything that exists, who is always there to protect the devotees, please, please protect my Krishna. Please bless my little Gopal. And then she became very humble. She said, under your illusion, Lord Narayan, I was thinking that I'm this body. And I'm thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, and therefore I am the queen of all of Vrindavan. And therefore all the gopas and all the gopis and all the cows and all the calves, they are all mine. And this little boy Krishna, I'm thinking he's my son because of my illusion. She was becoming very philosophical. And Krishna was just, he closed his mouth. The universe disappeared. At least from within him. She was saying that the universe was in Krishna and Krishna was in the universe. That was her vision. And Krishna was thinking, if my mother is thinking like this, then who is going to cuddle me and embrace me and give me motherly love if she's a big philosopher like this? So by Krishna's will, with a little tiny smile, Yashoda Mai completely forgot everything she saw in his mouth and lifted him up and embraced him and fed him her milk and didn't even think about whether he ate dirt anymore. That was Krishna's way of getting her, getting around that. Shukadev Goswami explains, this is the love between Yashoda and Krishna. The three Vedas, they worship the Absolute Truth as Yajna Purusha, the supreme recipient of all offerings of sacrifice. In the Upanishads, he is worshipped as Purusha. In the Yoga Sutras, he is worshipped as Paramatma. In the Pancharatras, he is worshipped as Bhagavan. But that same Supreme has taken the form of a little child who is loved as the son of Yashoda. What is her good fortune? This brings us to the day of Diwali. It was early morning, and Yashoda Mai, she saw that all the other gopas and gopis were very busy that day, because the next day is Indra Puja. It's a big annual festival of worshipping Indra, which later became Govardhan Puja. And it was also Diwali, the new year, so people were very busy. So Yashoda Mai woke up quite early that day, and she looked at the little face of baby Krishna. He was sound asleep. His eyes were closed like two beautiful effulgent blue lotuses. And she just gazed upon him with such affection. And she wanted to churn special butter from the dahi just for Krishna. And she wanted to do it before he woke up. And as she was churning, she was thinking that Krishna goes to the house of so many other gopis to steal their butter. If I make this butter myself with all my love, then he'll be so satisfied. He'll be happy to stay at home. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And Yashoda Mai took the best 100 cows and gave them very, very special grasses that she personally grew. They were very nutritious, very sweet, very fragrant. The grass had the quality of lotus flowers. And of them, there were 10 cows, and then the best of the cows. She would use that. And that milk and that butter was so fragrant. It was so tasteful, so nourishing. This was her love for Krishna. And she was churning. And as she was churning, she was remembering the pastimes of Gopal and singing about them. She was having kirtan. And the bells around her waist and the bells that were on her bracelets were all chiming, keeping a beautiful rhythm like musical instruments. And as she was pulling the rope and it was making the dahi move, like it was making the sounds of a murdunga drum. And this way it was a kirtan. With the instrumentation of her devotional movements, she was singing the glories of Krishna. And as she was remembering Krishna, her heart was overflowing with love. And as her heart was overflowing with love, it was inducing that love to come through her breasts as milk. That milk was the nectar of her prem, her bhav. And Krishna, laying sleeping, as her love was coming, it woke Krishna up, and he was thirsty for that love. So he got up, and he heard the singing of his holy names and glories and pastimes, and came running as fast as he could little run, and came right up to the churning station of Yashoda Mai, and with one hand he held
the wooden rod and looked at her and said, "Surrender, no more churning. I'm thirsty for your milk." But he did it with such sweetness. Yashodamai looked at him. Her heart melted. Krishna climbed up onto her lap and she embraced him and began to feed him. As she was feeding him, she was looking at his lovely moon-like face with lotus eyes and lips beaming like bimba fruits and nose like a little freshly blossomed sesame flower. And she saw little teeth growing there, and she was just smiling upon him. Now, in the spiritual world, there's no limit to love. Even though Krishna's a little baby, he could drink tens and millions of gallons of Mother Yashoda's milk. Because it's not milk, it's love. And he has an unlimited capacity to receive love. And also, a devotee, Krishna has an unlimited capacity to inspire and to increase our love. So that means Krishna could drink forever, and Yashoda Mai, she has an unlimited supply of milk for Krishna to drink. And the pleasure between them was ever increasing. It wasn't a physical pleasure. It was a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul pleasure of the love, which was manifesting on every level. There was milk, that Padmaganda lotus milk that I was talking about. There was a little pot, and she was preparing something for Krishna with that. It began to boil over. According to some of our acharyas, it is explained, the reason it boiled over is because the milk is conscious. Everything in the spiritual world is fully conscious. And the milk was thinking, my only existence is for Krishna to enjoy me, and now he's enjoying with Yashoda Mai, and that's going to go on forever. So what is the use of my existence?
I will enter fire. And he jumped out.
But when Yashoda Mai saw, for Krishna's pleasure, she put little Krishna down and ran. And as soon as the milk saw that she was coming, he was thinking, why am I thinking so self-conscious like this? Of course Yashoda Mai will share Krishna with everyone. Of course Krishna will satisfy everyone's desire. So all the milk that fell jumped back in the pot. And Yashoda Mai took it off the fire. When Krishna was gone, he wanted to have a beautiful pastime to increase the Leela with his mother. But he also wanted to attract the whole world for all time to come with this most sweet Leela. Krishna was thinking, why did my mother leave me for anything else? And he picked up a stone that was used for grinding spices, and he broke the clay pot where the butter was being churned, and it started dripping everywhere. And then Krishna, he went to a little storage room, and he opened it up. And he locked it from inside. And he started stealing butter from there. And then he went to another place. And there was a wooden grinding mortar. Krishna climbed on top of it. And there was a clay pot of butter hanging from ropes from the ceiling. And he reached into it and ate it. And then he called his friends and started feeding his friends. And then he called the Vrindavan monkeys.
and was feeding the monkeys. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai came back and she saw the pot was broken. And she saw little tiny butter footprints of Gopal, and she followed the footprints. And being a mother, she wanted to teach Krishna that he shouldn't be so restless because it wasn't safe. Because parents' duty is to cheat, it's their responsibility to teach their children morality and ethics and proper behavior so that they could have a prosperous life in the future. That was Yashoda Mai's feeling. So she picked up a little thin stick just to scare Krishna. And she was following the butter footprints. And she came into this little courtyard, and there she saw Krishna. He was feeding monkeys butter, and he was eating butter. And he looked so nervous. He kept looking in all directions to make sure his mother wasn't coming. But the monkey saw her with the stick. And she very, very softly walked up to him. And suddenly, the monkey started jumping outside and jumping out the windows and going up into the trees. And Krishna turned around and his mother was right there. He jumped off the grinding mortar and ran away. Yashoda Mai ran after him. Krishna ran and she ran and he ran and she ran. According to the Upanishads, the absolute truth can never be caught by anyone. Either the incredible discrimination and knowledge developed by jnanis, or the incredible sense control, mind control, or mystic cities of yogis. Who could catch the absolute truth? But Yashoda Mai, she was running after him. And as she was running, flowers, malati flowers, were falling from her hair. Jiva Goswami tells that those malati flowers are falling from their hair. The flowers, their personal feeling was that Krishna, Parabrahman, is running away from Yashoda. This is the power of her love. How great she is. I shouldn't be on her head. I should be serving her feet. So they jumped off toward her feet. Krishna allowed himself to be caught by the hand by Yashoda. Satyavrat Muni in the Damodarastakam we sing each night during this month of Damodar is offering beautiful prayers describing such a visualization of this pastime. Krishna's breathing very fast. His limbs are trembling. He's crying. He's crying, and the mascara, the kajal that's around his eyes, is mixing with his tears and making beautiful streaks across his face. And his beautiful shining red lips are quivering in fear of Mother Yashoda. And Krishna said, please put down that stick. And Yashoda Mai threw the stick away. And she said, Gopal, why are you such a thief? And little Gopal, he was trembling. He said, I didn't get this from my father's side of the family. I got this from your side of the family. Yashoda Mai said, because of your association with monkeys, you have developed the same nature as a monkey. And Krishna was very much afraid. He said, if you think I'm a monkey, then I will go and live in the forest with the monkeys. Now when he said that, that really made Yashoda Mai afraid that he might just do that. He's so restless. Today's Diwali, tomorrow's Indra Puja, I have so many responsibilities around the house. I'm all alone now. What will I do to protect my child? Who knows what he may do? He's so restless today. I will stay close by, but just to protect him, I will tie him up. Meanwhile, little Gopal, he was saying to his mother, I promise I won't do it again. Just let me go. And Yashoda Mai said, you are very naughty. I must protect you. So she took a rope from her hair, because Krishna was very small, and she tied it around his waist. She attempted to do so, but it was the width of two fingers too short. So she took another string from her hair and put it, and it was again two fingers too strong. Then she took a rope that was used for churning the butter, and she tied that to those, and again it was two fingers too short. She took all the churning ropes in her whole house. Then she started getting the ropes that were used for the little calves, and she was tying more and more rope to the original ropes. Krishna's waist was not growing. It was the same little waist, hardly the size of Yashoda Mai's fist. And the ropes were becoming meters and meters and meters and meters big, tied together, and still two fingers too short. And Krishna was crying, please don't tie me up, please don't. Yashoda Mai said, I must tie you. I must protect you. They were very soft, silken type of ropes. And then the gopis came from other houses, and they saw this. And all the gopis from all directions were bringing all the ropes of their house. And there were so many different color ropes. There was yellow ropes and blue ropes and purple ropes and green ropes and orange ropes and white ropes. And they were all being tied by Yashoda Mai to the pre-existing ropes. And again, two fingers too small. How is that possible? Srila Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatan Goswami, Sridhar Swami, they're giving so many beautiful commentaries to explain what's happening. Krishna's Parabrahma. He's the supreme Brahman. The Brahma Jyoti, which is his energy, is all pervading within and without everything. Nothing is outside of Brahman. So how could she tie Krishna with a rope outside of him? Everything was within. Very interesting pastime. The Supreme Absolute is transcendental. He's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. Yet he's crying because he wants butter. He's the supreme truth, yet he's lying to increase the ecstasy of the love of his mother. He's beyond the modes of material nature, and yet he's appearing angry and breaking the little pots. He's feared by fear personified. He's the cause of time. He's Satchidananda. Even Yamaraj and Kalarupa is afraid of Krishna. But Krishna is showing fear. Why? Just to show the power of love. He is exhibiting all these qualities simply as a reciprocation of his love, although he is beyond everything. But when he's captured by the intimacy of the love of his devotee, Bhaktivatsala. He's not just pretending. He's actually experiencing dependency on the love of his devotees. This is Vrindavan, the highest jewel of the supreme independence of the Lord. The gopis were saying to Yashoda Mai that, don't you see every time you tie the ropes together, it's the same distance too short? It is not Krishna's destiny to be tied up today. And Yashoda Mai was so determined to protect Krishna. She said, I am not going to give up. However long it takes, however much rope I have to use, I want to find out how much rope it takes to put around the waist of my little Gopal. And also, if I don't teach him, who's going to teach him? She was smiling, she was laughing, and she was tying. And after some time, she was perspiring, and her sari was becoming loosened. And Krishna saw what was the enthusiasm of her love. He allowed himself to be tied up. Those two fingers, they represent what is required. The width of the two fingers represent what it is required to bind Krishna with our love. One is our enthusiasm and perseverance to serve, even in the face of all obstacles. When Krishna sees that for his pleasure we are not being discouraged by success or failure, honor or dishonor, pleasure or pain, happiness or distress, health or disease, victory or defeat, devotional service is ahoitiki apratihata. It is unconditional by these things. As long as there's selfishness or arrogance in what we do, then we become very discouraged because we're not getting our way. But when we're truly doing it for Krishna's satisfaction, even though there may be heartaches, there's so many impediments in doing Krishna's will, our enthusiasm to persevere for Krishna's pleasure with the right intention of the heart will never wane. This is the first principle. Whether we are tasting sweet nectar when we're chanting the holy names, or whether we don't taste anything, or even it kind of tastes bitter, I'd rather be doing so many other things. It doesn't matter so much that, but for Krishna's pleasure, I will go on chanting. I will do my japa. I will do my meditation on Krishna's names because it's for Krishna's pleasure. And whether I feel or don't feel, whether it's hot or cold, I will carry on with my seva. Hanumanji, he was unconditional. Whether it was he was in the embrace of Ram, feeling the tears of Ram's love bathing him, or whether he was face to face with Ravana, with his tail on fire, tied with ropes. His enthusiasm to persevere for the pleasure of Ram was always there. And that is Vrindavan in its highest, sweetest manifestation. Sambhog, when the gopas and the gopis, the Brijabasis, were meeting Krishna, their hearts were flowing with the ecstasy of love to serve Krishna and was manifesting through everything they said, everything they thought, and everything they did. And when Krishna departed for Mathura and Dwarka, it was not an impediment. Their enthusiasm, their perseverance, their faith was ever increasing in Vipralamba Bhav, in love and separation. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that the gopis, every day after Krishna left for Mathura, they would make garlands, they would make bhoga, they would make beautiful flower beds for him to meet with Sri Radha, because they were expecting he'll come today. And when he didn't come, they just remembered him so deeply in separation, crying tears of love as offerings. And the next day they would do the same thing, year after year, no impediment. Yashoda Mai, for Krishna's protection, to show her motherly love for Krishna, she was willing to spend the rest of eternity tying ropes. That was her enthusiasm. And the second finger represents Kripa, Krishna's kindness, Krishna's mercy. Because no matter how enthusiastic, how we persevere, it's not enough. Unless Krishna reveals himself to us by his own sweet will, it's a descending process. We could never know him. Yegata mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyo. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, as one surrenders to me, I reciprocate accordingly. When a devotee, for the pleasure of Krishna, samsidhir hari toshana, with faith in Krishna's causeless mercy, surrenders their love, then Krishna reciprocates, and by his mercy, he is conquered by that love. Yashoda Mai tied Krishna up, and Krishna told his mother, please untie me. And Yashoda Mai, she said, Krishna, I will be close by. You're very naughty today. You be like this right now, and I'll be back. It was a very comfortable situation for him. And when Yashoda Mai left, she brought a few of Krishna's little friends just to be with him, to keep him company, so he would be happy. So his friends were joking with him. Balaram was not there at the time. But the other little gopas, they were saying, Krishna, you got tied up. Krishna said, untie me, untie me. But they couldn't untie him. Actually, Krishna didn't want to be untied, because that rope was the rope of Yashoda's love. He was so happy. Even some gopas were saying, can we untie you? He said, no. He was feeling so sheltered and in the love of his devotee. And he looked outside,
And he saw two gigantic trees, Arjuna trees.
Arjuna trees have huge roots, really thick roots.
One time our dear godbrother Dinabandhu Prabhu was explaining, he went to, I think, a place like Mauritius, where there was a cyclone, like a hurricane. And trees were blown down everywhere. But the Arjuna trees, because their roots, they're both above the ground and below the ground, and they're so thick, the base of them are so strong, such a foundation, that the Arjuna trees didn't move. And when Krishna looked at those trees, he was remembering his devotee Narada Muni, the story of the trees, briefly. Nalukuvera and Manigriva, they were the assistants of Kuvera, sons of Kuvera, who's the treasurer of the devas. That means they were living in a heavenly abode. Their bodies were heavenly beautiful. They had incredible physical strength and handsome qualities. They had amazing degrees of wealth, property, ornamentation. They had tremendous personalities. Everything they did was so expert. And they were proud. It's hard to be better than so many people and not be proud. So they were thinking that they just have the right to enjoy any way that they want to enjoy. They were in a lake, in a heavenly resort, with heavenly ladies. And they were all without clothes on, playing with each other. And Narada Muni, the great sage, the great rishi, he's a brahmachari, he's a swami. He comes by with his veena, singing, Narada Muni Bhajayivi Naradhi Karamana Name. And when the ladies saw Narada Muni, the great sage, they became very sober. Nalukuvera and Manigriva were intoxicated on all kinds of wines, heavenly nectars. The ladies got out and they covered themselves and they offered their pranams to Narada Muni with respect. But Nala and Kuvera and Manigriva, they couldn't care less about one of these Hare Krishna people coming by. They totally ignored Narada Muni. We have our wealth, we have our prosperity, we have our power, we have our business, we have our families. That's how intoxicated they were. Narada Muni was feeling so much compassion for them. Narada Muni doesn't have a house, he doesn't have a bank account. He has nothing. All he has is love for Krishna and Krishna's holy name. Premdhan Mahanidhi, the supreme greatest of all treasures, is Prema Pumartha Mahan. Prema Bhakti, Prem Niti, that was his wealth. And that wealth of love for Krishna is beyond time, it's beyond birth, it's beyond death, it's ever increasing, and it's the only thing that could give fulfillment to the eternal soul. So he was saying, these two devas.
They were so arrogant. They were so disrespectful. They were destroying their own possibilities.
Narada Muni felt especially compassionate toward them.
And he told them, because you are so much infatuated by all your powers and wealth and beauty, and you think yourself better than everyone, the quality of a great soul is amani na manadena, that we shouldn't care about being respected ourselves, but we should find the greatest joy in giving respect to others. We could evaluate how much we're progressing by just applying that principle to our own way of thinking in life, our values.
Said you are standing before a great sage, naked like a tree. I bless you to become trees. Hare Krishna.
Now, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, to them that was a serious curse. Yes? When you're attached to all of this, and now they're just going to be trees. But the thing is, they had tree bodies, but they had the exact same consciousness as Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. Generally, trees have tree consciousness. It's a very, very what is a good word? It's a very undeveloped state of God consciousness. Trees are conscious. They feel. But if they had the consciousness of a human, how could they stand throughout the winter being covered with ice and stand in the summer giving shade to others and just being burning in the sun? But these two devas had the full consciousness of devas in the bodies of trees. They stood in one place. Even if they have an itch, that itch may go on for 10,000 years and they can't scratch it. That's a tree. And little insects are going, and they're... Trees don't mind, they like it. But when you're in a very developed demigod consciousness, more developed than a human even, in the body of a tree, very difficult. But they were there for many, many years. And Narada Muni, he arranged for them to be trees in the courtyard of what would be the house of Nanda Yashoda, Krishna Balaram. So they could see, they could feel, they could hear. They couldn't speak, they couldn't move, but they could just take it all in. So from Krishna's day of birth, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were watching his pastimes. They were seeing the intimate, sweet, loving relations between he and Nanda and Yashoda and the gopas and the gopis. And ever since Krishna's birth, he was seeing them. They were just near the gateway of Gokul. And Krishna was thinking that my dear devotee Narada, he put these demigods as trees here. And they're kind of like bound up into these tree bodies. And now that I'm bound up by a rope to this wooden grinding mortar, I'm feeling special sympathy for them. I will fulfill the desire of my devotee. Because my devotee put them here so that they can attain the highest perfection of ecstatic love. Whatever a great devotee does, however it may appear, it's always with the intention of pure compassion, and it's the greatest blessing. So little baby Krishna, he was just a couple years old. He started crawling, and he pulled, and somehow this big, big wooden grinding mortar started dragging behind him. And the little children, they were amazed. They were saying, "Gopal, you're pulling the grinding mortar." And Gopal was smiling like this. And they were, "Gopal, you're actually pulling the grinding mortar. This is wonderful. What are you going to do?" And Krishna was smiling. And he went between the trees. And as he crawled between the trees, the grinding mortar got caught between them. And Krishna just pulled once more. Sorry. The trees broke and fell to the ground. The whole earth shook because they were massive. They were thousands of years old. It was like an earthquake. Everything was like thunder. It was such a massive sound that all the Brijabasis, the shaking of the earth and the tumultuous sound of the falling of the trees, everyone fell unconscious. Except the little children near Krishna who was watching it. The reason why, for them, it was the sweetest thing they ever saw. Gopal knocked those trees down. With the rope of Mother Yashoda's love. This is beautiful. They were just laughing and smiling and clapping, "Well done, Krishna." Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva appeared like blazing flames of fire. They were so beautiful. They were decorated in their demigod garments now. And they stood before Krishna with folded hands and prayed. Just by the association of watching Krishna and meditating on his pastimes, just by seeing the loving relations between he and his devotees, they became completely purified. They were the most mystically self-satisfied sages in the form of those trees. They were weeping tears of anand, ecstatic love. And they were explaining to Krishna how all of this was his kindness. Tathenu kampam susamikshamano. Lord Brahma prays, when a devotee is put in a difficult situation, if with folded hands they see the opportunity to go deeper into their bhakti and remain faithful and offer their hearts to Krishna with humility and gratitude, if a person could do that even in difficult times, that person alone is entitled to the perfection, the highest liberation. They realize that platform of devotion. They were profusely thanking Narada Muni for giving them this blessing. Otherwise, we would have gone through our whole life wasting it with intoxication and sensory enjoyments. But by the grace of Narada, we have attained the ultimate intoxication of the soul, Bhav, Krishna, Vrindavan Bhav.
and their only prayer to Krishna, wherever you want us to be, we only want to remember you and be the servant of your servants, constantly chanting your glories and your holy names. Krishna blessed them. He's just a little baby, still tied up, and he's blessing the demigods and giving them permission to go back to their abodes. But now they're pure devotees. They're Paramhamsa, Mahatmas. And suddenly, everyone wakes up from their unconsciousness and they come running to the scene. And Yashoda Mai, when she came up from her unconsciousness and she found out what happened, she was feeling so embarrassed. She was feeling so guilty that I tied Krishna up and now look what happened. It was inconceivable. And Nanda Maharaj came running there and he untied Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj, he knew everything. But still, he asked Krishna, who is the fool that tied you up? And Krishna said, my mother did it. Nanda Maharaj didn't say anything. And Krishna crawled on Nanda Maharaj's lap, and Nanda Maharaj was, he was asking, what happened? And all the Brijabasis were gathered around, and they were thinking, how is this possible? What, these were giant trees, we've been seeing it all our life. How did they fall down? There was no high winds, there was no charging elephants. How all of a sudden the trees just fell down? We cannot understand this. And Nanda Maharaj, he asked the little children, do you know how this happened? And the little children smiled and laughed and they said, yes, yes, we know what happened. What happened? Little Gopal, after Yashoda Mai tied him up around the waist to the wooden grinder, he was crying and crying. And then after his mother left, he was crying when she was there. But after he was left, he was with us and he started laughing and joking. And then he crawled. And he went between the trees and the grinding mortar got stuck. And little Gopal pulled and the trees came out. And then these two incredible people who looked like blazing fire with all sorts of ornaments, they bowed down to little Gopal. They surrendered their lives. They offered prayers. And then they disappeared somewhere in the northern direction. We don't know who they were or where they went, but it was incredible.
The cowherd men, we're thinking, what is the talk of these little children? What nonsense are they talking? How is this possible that the trees fell? And Nanda Maharaj said, would you like to go back to your mother? And Krishna said, no, she tied me up. I will not go back to her. But I'm hungry. So Nanda Maharaj took little Gopal with the other cowherd man and they went to the Yamuna River and took their baths together. Nanda Maharaj was so, everyone was so scared because these two trees fell. The bodies of the tree were laying there uprooted and on either side, just inches from little Gopal. If the trees were even inches, Krishna would have been crushed. It was very scary for them to see it. And they were not thinking he's God. They were thinking he's just our loving little helpless child. So Nanda Maharaj took him to the Yamuna to become purified and blessed by Yamuna Devi, who's the sister of Yamaraj and the daughter of Surya. And then he took Krishna to the Goshala, where the cows were being milked. And he gave Krishna milk. And Krishna was very happy. And then he took Krishna back home and he bathed Krishna. And then it was time for dinner and Balaram came and Krishna, Balaram and Nanda Maharaj were taking dinner together. Meanwhile, Rohini Devi, Yashoda Mai's dearmost best friend and Balaram's mother, she saw Yashoda Mai's condition. She felt so guilty, so ashamed. Why did I tie up Krishna? In tying up Krishna, I risked his life. I subjected him to be between these massive trees falling down. And the worst thing is now Krishna's angry with me. He doesn't even want to look at me. Seeing Yashoda Mai's condition, some of the gopis went to Krishna and said, Krishna, your mother, she wants to see you. She feels so bad. Don't you want to see her? And Gopal, he said, no, she tied me up. And they said, well, who's going to feed you? You've been brought up all your life on her milk. And Gopal said, there are so many cows that my father has. I will drink their milk. She said, but Yashoda Mai plays with you every day. Who's going to play with you? And Gopal said, I have so many cowherd boyfriends to play with. And Rohini Devi said to Nanda Maharaj that Yashoda, she's feeling so much shame. And Nanda Maharaj said, when somebody does the wrong thing, then it's good they feel some shame. That way they learn. Rohini Devi said, if Yashoda Mai hears your words, she will be devastated. For the whole day, Yashoda couldn't show her face to anyone. She was crying. She couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. She was just feeling so much that my Gopal is displeased with me. That's all. It wasn't a matter of her social position. It was her whole life was to love Gopal and to please him. And he was displeased with her. Her heart was breaking with love. And Rohini Devi was explaining the situation. And Nanda Maharaj knew exactly what to do. He said to Gopal, he lifted his hand. He said, should I hit your mother? And Gopal was so fearful, he took his father's hand and said, no, 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 no. And then Nanda Maharaj and Rohini said, without you, Yashoda will not be able to live. And Gopal immediately jumped off Nanda Maharaj's lap and ran to the house of Yashoda. And he was crying, Ma, Ma, Mother, 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 I'm coming. Mother, please, please, Mother, I'm coming for you. And when Yashoda Mai heard his voice, she ran out of the house to Krishna. And they ran. And he jumped into her arms and she embraced him and looked at his beautiful face and he smiled upon her. And she fed him with the nectar of her love. All the suspense of the Leela was only to increase the sweetness
of their love. That is Vrindavan. Madhurya Dham, the place of the deepest sweetness.
Shukadev Goswami, the crest jewel of all renunciates and scholars, he gives a beautiful verse to summarize this pastime. He said, the mercy, this kind of mercy has never been accessible even to Lord Brahma, even to Lord Shiva or Lakshmi Devi, the expanded energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have never experienced the type of mercy that was given to Mother Yashoda. Brahma is the original guru of the universe. Paramhamsa Acharya, who's the firstborn son of the Lord and the secondary or creator, such a Mahatma. And Shiva, who is an expansion, non-different than Narayan, non-different than Krishna, who's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of creation. Sadashiva, Rudra, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, most exalted personality, and Lakshmi Devi, who's the goddess of fortune, who's never separated from Krishna, who is his consort of Lord Narayan. Shukadev Goswami said, what was given to Yashoda cannot be understood and experienced even by Brahma, Shiva, or Lakshmi. And what is that? Yashoda's pure, intimate, sweet, motherly love conquered Krishna, bound Krishna, gave the highest satisfaction to Krishna, and Krishna gave the deepest, sweetest, highest ecstasy of spiritual satisfaction to Yashoda Mai. This is Vrindavan. Today, Diwali is the actual day when this Leela, Damodar Bandana, took place. Actually, after Krishna was untied and was reunited with Mother Yashoda more intimately than ever, the gopis, from that day on, they would love to call Krishna Damodar, one who was bound by the waist by the rope of your mother's love. Satyavrat Muni in Damodarastakam offers obeisances to Gopal, who's conquered by the love of his devotee. And he offers his obeisances to Yashoda Mai, who is such a devotee. And he offers his obeisances millions of times to the rope, which personifies the love of a devotee's heart. Later on, there's another Damodar pastime where Srimati Radharani, the Ladini Shakti, the ultimate reservoir of all love, who is the presiding goddess of all devotion in Vrindavan. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, in Vrindavan, everyone says Radhe Radhe and Jai Shri Radhe. They say Sri Radha's name even more than Krishna's, because they know that through the grace of Sri Radha, the feminine potency, the feminine aspect of the Absolute Truth, all the perfections of love can awaken within our heart. And only by her grace and through the grace of her servants can one enter into the realm of Vrindavan. The Acharyas explain what Yashoda Mai personified is accessible to everyone to a particular degree if we follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Following in the footsteps does not mean imitating. If we pretend to be gopas or gopis, it will never go beyond our mental imagination. But the spirit of selfless service, the spirit of truly humbly tasting the sweetness of Krishna's name, the spirit of living without ego or selfishness, and the spirit of tasting the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, naturally, as our true, genuine love awakens, then by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, by Srila Prabhupada's divine grace, then we will be connected to the residents of Vrindavan. Because Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas are eternal residents of Vrindavan. We are all just trying to connect through following their instructions, through receiving their grace and through pleasing them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the spirit of the love of Sri Radha, feeling that love and distributing that love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the most profound, difficult thing so simple. We can enter into the realm of Vrindavan by developing this true mood of servant of the servant, by hearing these wonderful pastimes, and by cultivating a genuine taste for chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada invited devotees, pilgrims, people from all over the world to come to Vrindavan, to enter into this mood genuinely. Prabhupada didn't invite us here to enjoy Vrindavan like tourists. He came to the West from Vrindavan and then invited all of us back to be enriched by the spirit of love, of seva. That is why we have come here. Let us appreciate the exalted gift of coming in contact with the supreme abode of the Lord. even if it is so way beyond our realization, experience, or even imagination, if we're just grateful with a humble spirit to receive it. Then Krishna will fill our hearts with unimaginable realizations. That is why we have come. On this holy day, let us offer our obeisances to that rope, the rope of bhakti. And Sri Radha is the very source. She is that rope that Yashoda Mai put around Krishna. It is her energy ultimately. And one time when Krishna made Sri Radha angry with him, she tied the rope of her ecstatic love around Krishna's waist. Shri Radha Damodar. And Krishna wanted the whole world, the whole spiritual world, material world, to know that he's forever bound by the love of his devotees. Thank you very much.